The Art Show on Fresh Air Radio, Thursdays at 3 p.m. A taste of all the culture Edinburgh has to offer, from theatre to literature, from film to the visual arts. Hello and welcome back. You are listening to The Art Show, which I'm sure you already knew, as you're clearly one of my very dedicated fans who tune in week on week. This week, we'll hear from Glasgow-based artist Ursula Cheng about the Woman of Colour mural she's been commissioned to design at our own Edinburgh University. Plus, we'll have more side-splitting, or groan-inducing, if you've got no sense of humour, comedy from the Edinburgh Review. But first, let's hear from the student newspaper culture editors about what is going on in Edinburgh culture this week. Hello, Cam and Al.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Cam is back on the show after a bit of a hiatus.
Yes.
But sadly, this may be your last broadcast.
Yeah.
Tell us the news.
Well,
what's happened?
I know. Well, I've handed over the reins for theatre editor to Sorrel Reed. So basically, I really enjoyed it. But now I'm doing a master's and, you know, times are a change. I was going to say that, and I thought that sounds really, really cheesy. But
I do it for you. So next week we can hope to have Sorrel on the show in your stead.
Yeah.
But for now, for the very last time, would you like to tell us what's going on in theatre in Edinburgh this week?
Absolutely. So it's actually a really good show. As usual, there's less than we'd like in theatre in Edinburgh at the moment, but something that's actually come out of the Traverse again, who have been really good with their online content over lockdown and beyond. They've got In Someone Else's Shoes, which is currently, I think they've actually uploaded it to YouTube now, but it technically runs until the 25th of October, so that's actually probably before this show goes out. But it should still be on YouTube. And basically, it's an immersive 360-degree video project where even on YouTube you can use this facility, and you can basically, it follows Edinburgh residents around Edinburgh discussing their kind of experience of the summer, the lack of the Fringe Festival, the way things have all changed, the way they had to deal with lockdown, and the way that their jobs have actually been impacted by this. And it's following them walking around the streets of Edinburgh with a 360-degree video, and you can, you know, scroll around a bit and sort of, you can either see them talking or walking, or you can sort of see where they are and their surroundings. And it's just quite an interesting and actually quite a moving piece of film. And it's really, I would say, quite a good piece of art, really, to really sum up the kind of anxieties and also the very diverse range of people that we have in Edinburgh as well, and the work that they do that kind of sometimes gets a bit forgotten as well. So it's a really good time capsule for this strange and uncertain time in which we live, and I'd highly recommend that you all go and check it out. It's free to watch currently on Traverse Theatre's YouTube page.
Amazing. I actually spoke to the co-artistic director for Travis on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she told me all about this this 3D film of Edinburgh, this piece, and she said it was so emotional. As someone, she's from Edinburgh herself, and she was saying that it's an absolute must-see, especially if you're finding it difficult to kind of see the city in this kind of COVID light that it's in at the moment, but also if you're just if you're away and you're missing it, it's apparently a really great way to experience Edinburgh and all of the kind of different kinds of people and different kinds of culture it has to offer. So
yeah, it really is. And it was actually surprisingly moving. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be, because I thought it would be like a very nice video about people that lived in Edinburgh. But it's actually, yeah, ended up the stories they were telling was kind of unexpectedly kind of, yeah, heartwarming in a strange way.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I absolutely adore what the Traverse Theatre are doing at the moment for the Edinburgh theatre scene. They're coming out with some really unusual and kind of immersive stuff like this. They're not just kind of falling back on traditional theatrical methods. And I think that's really great.
Yeah, they're really kind of working with what they've got, I think. They're really trying to. Yeah, sure.
Wonderful. So, Al, I hear this week you are not only going to tell us about literature, but also about art in the absence of our dear Erin.
Indeed.
So would you like to go ahead and tell us what's going on in literature, what's going on in art this week?
Yeah, so literature. I found an event online hosted by New York University's Creative Writing Programme. And it spotlights American poet Claudia Rankine. And she's in conversation with another poet, Terence Hayes, on Zoom to conduct a reading and a Q&A of her work. This event is kind of awkward as it's actually in Eastern time, which means you actually need to be on Zoom at midnight on the 6th of November. But tickets are free, can be found online. I also believe there's actually a Facebook event. But I think the late night will be really worth it, as Rankin is a wonderful poet who's won many, many literary prizes, and I followed her for such a young age. If you're not familiar with her work, I can really recommend Some Years There Exists a Wanting to Escape, and it's from her collection Citizen. It's a poem that explores looking inward to the body in relation to feelings of loneliness and even non-existence, and it really soothes me from these weird lockdown feelings. And yeah, lots of her stuff is readily available on Poetry Foundation, so I'd definitely go and check it out. And actually, Erin's art pitch sort of works with this week. So it explores a very similar theme of looking inwards. So Erin's event sounds really, really interesting. I actually can't wait to go and see it for myself. It's an in-person exhibition at Collective Gallery on Calton Hill, and it's called Navel Gazing by Glasgow-based artist Katie Hendry. It's looking at the idea of the gut and gut feelings, and it's quite contradictory since I guess we're all socially told to trust our gut feelings, but our bodies are also simultaneously seen as quite irrational things that maybe we can't always trust. But it makes it quite an interesting concept, especially since the collective space on Calton is usually used for stargazing, and now it's all about navel gazing and looking inside ourselves. So tickets are free and online. They're opened on Saturday and is running until late November.
It's really amazing how much visual art there is still going on in Edinburgh, even
bars
are closed, but like, do go up to the Collective on Calton Hill and think about what your gut's telling you.
Yeah, I really feel like I just forget that there's things still happening.
Yeah,
but
no,
then absolutely. Art seems to be somewhat flourishing.
Yeah, kind of powering ahead. Like, yeah. I keep praising the Travis Theatre week in and week out, but actually, like, the visual arts teams in Edinburgh, the kind of gallery curators and so on, they're doing a fantastic job maintaining things to do. So I believe there is an edition of the student newspaper coming out in the coming week. Is that correct?
Yes, on Tuesday, which I believe the date will be the 27th.
And where will we find it? In the usual places, I'm sure, but remind us.
I believe the usual places are Potterrow, Pleasance, Teviot, and Tesco and Nicholson Street.
And are there any exceptional pieces coming out of the culture section this week that you'd like to highlight?
Can I go first?
Yes.
I'm actually really excited about this one. So one of our writers has gone very much out of her way to purchase a copy of a book and a ticket for an online event of Kay Tempest's new book on connection. It looks like a wonderful review. I can't wait for everyone to read it. I was talking about it on Fresh Air a couple of weeks ago, if anyone remembers.
I remember.
Yeah, it's Kay Tempest in conversation at the South Bank Centre. Looks like to be a really great piece. Keep an eye out.
That's really nice. Come full circle. I really like that. That writer clearly listened in to our segment on Fresh Air a couple of weeks ago and was very moved by what she heard. Cam, what about you? I imagine theatre writing's a little thin on the ground, but anything you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, well, it is thin on the ground, but we did have a very good piece this week by Molly McCracken, which was all about the adverts that came out, although have actually been out for about a year now, but got redistributed recently, about the Rethink, Reskill, Reboot. We've got the title as An Arrogant, Ignorant and Belittling Threat to the Arts.
Wow.
And it's a really good piece on just really outlining what the implications are for these government-associated adverts and what they kind of mean for the arts sector, but also more generally as well. It's a really nice piece that kind of covers all of the major concerns that I think a lot of us have with this kind of attitude and rhetoric. And I actually quite like to have this as, you know, my last thing I personally published as the editor. It's quite a nice thing to do, because I was quite glad that that this is the kind of thing that we'll still be able to having a dialogue about in the student newspaper, especially in the theatre section, which, you know, has taken a bit of a battering because of the lack of things, you know, like you say, the lack of, we're very thin on the ground. So yeah, And actually, it's really quite nice as well with Sorel's kind of plan for the future is really looking at backing the arts and backing the theatre sector, you know, with the kind of content that hopefully will be coming out. So that's going to be a really exciting way to carry on the theatre section in lieu of, you know, the regular reviews that we can do and things like that.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm really, really glad that you're covering the government advertising issue, because I think although there's not a lot of live theatre or live performance going on at the moment, there is a lot of conversation about the impact of COVID on the arts and the kind of teetering position that the theatrical performance arts find themselves in right now. So I really am looking forward to seeing Sorel's editorship on that one, because I think it's a really interesting direction to take the section.
Yes.
Finally then, this week is a special spooky show, because Halloween is in 2 days' time at the time of broadcast. And although we are recording this a week in advance, I was wondering if you guys have any lockdown Halloween plans that you might want to share to give our listeners an idea of what they could do while they're stuck at home on the spookiest day of the year.
I think our flat's actually just planning to have a candlelit dinner, potentially, and watch a scary film, I have a feeling. Nice. Not too sure.
Have a seance, yeah?
Yeah.
What about you, Cam? You too busy for Halloween as a master's student?
Well, I had actually forgotten it was happening, Maisie, so thank you for the reminder. the problem is, I don't like horror films, so I won't be watching any of those. So I actually don't know what we'll be doing. We might just make like a flat dinner, something like that.
Aww.
But there's I should Sounds really cute. plan for that, but I haven't yet.
It's okay. I feel like it's not the top of people's priority lists, but in my flat we'll be carving pumpkins and going on a scavenger hunt, so
ooh, that sounds
I think
wow.
I'm the real winner here.
Agreed.
Thanks so much for joining me, guys. This has been really great. Next up we will have a chat with Ursula Cheng, and while you stay tuned, here's The Spider-Man by The Cure. Thank you. You'll have just heard Lullaby by The Cure, the first of our spooky songs for this week. I'm joined now by Ursula Cheng, a Glasgow-based artist who is the design mind behind the upcoming Women of Colour mural at the university. Welcome to the show, Ursula.
Thanks. Hi, Musi. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for coming. How are you doing today?
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
So we are going to talk a bit about this amazing project. For those who are not in the know, because there's not a lot of information about it out there yet, it is a part of the BAME Liberation Campaign at Edinburgh University and will be designed based on input by real women of colour at this university and stand as a symbol of their existence and strength within Edinburgh and academia as a whole. Have you ever done anything like this before? It seems really ambitious.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with lots of different groups and really within my work with an illustration, it is doing like lots of large scale murals and really trying to get that engagement and representation from the participants within it. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of mural work and it's similar along the lines of, it's really something I'm very passionate about, kind of getting that engagement and representation within illustration. That's something that can be viewed publicly and kind of have its own space and ownership.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting way of thinking about it. The artwork kind of becomes part of the city in a way when you're doing a mural, and it's like, it can't be ignored. This is for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So there was a workshop to discuss ideas about this mural a couple of weeks ago. That's how I heard about it. And I was wondering if maybe you could share anything that was discussed at that meeting or any ideas you have for the mural already.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really useful for me, especially to kind of meet the participants and Isabella, who put this motion into the student council to get this as a permanent piece of work that would be kind of enjoyed on the campus. So with the workshop, it was, yeah, meeting the participants and really kind of understanding, you know, how we can really best represent these aspects as part of this woman of colour, and kind of thinking of that kind of beauty and complexity of being a woman of colour and having this kind of conversation and dialogue within that, and you know what we're proud of within this. But we started with sharing some images and ideas and kind of inspirational empowerment images that really signified what they wanted presented within this work. So yeah, it was a lot of kind of listening and learning, really. You know, certain aspects that kind of came from this is, you know, really having that representation of like different identifying women of color, so trans women and perhaps even like trans women that don't necessarily pass, and how we can represent that, but also like women in male dominated industries and mothers and daughters, and kind of visualizing the everyday and these kind of like actions and conversations, but really how, you know, we move from that, and it's, I feel like it's very much kind of, you know, supporting one another and kind of creating those like further developments and kind of opportunities for one another. But just having that representation, I think, is so important. So yeah, it kind of culminated to kind of thinking of like directive kind of statements, or thinking of some how we can represent this visually. So yeah, I shared some sketches that I've been working on within the workshop, and we kind of discussed even like kind of personal aspects of why this was so important for us. So, you know, even my own background and how I feel like, you know, that kind of diversity of kind of thought is so important within education, especially, you know, within the Edinburgh Uni and on a kind of in this kind of campus environment.
Yeah, I completely agree. So it's a very intersectional kind of project, and I guess that's why you need to have these discussions with, you know, other women of colour, and especially women of colour in Edinburgh at the university, because you're trying to represent all of these experiences, only some of which are your experiences.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's not so much this one definitive thing. It's really trying to be inclusive of all those different aspects, you know. So for me, coming into the design aspect and really collectively trying to put that into like this mural that will like have a permanent space, I think we're kind of saying that the space will be like within Potter Row. Yeah, I mean, I feel really honored that I can kind of impart my design background into this and, you know, listen and learn from these women, and also bring in my own kind of personal aspect and, yeah, bring that into like a piece of work that I hope gets enjoyed.
Lovely. So how actually did you get involved? So you're based in Glasgow. Were you just approached by the BAME Liberation Officer, or yeah, how did you get attached to this?
Yeah, it was through the Representation and Democracy Officer, mm-hmm. Sarah Moffat.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how she found me, actually. I can't really say. I'm not really sure. I mean, I did study at the College of Art now. And yeah, I lived in Edinburgh for a long time. I lived in Edinburgh for about 10 years now. So I don't know. I've done a lot of work in and around like Edinburgh and Glasgow and Dundee. So I'm not sure. But yeah, doing a lot of mural work, I guess that kind of...
Yeah, puts you as a good candidate.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets passed on. So yeah.
So the space is expected to be in Potter Row. I know it's early days, but do you know when it's likely that this mural is going to be revealed?
Oh, I couldn't tell you when it's going to be revealed. I mean, it still needs to be executed. So, I mean, we're kind of... So we only had the workshop last week. I'm going to be hopefully starting it, kind of working through the design of it this week, and kind of thinking about a lot of the kind of themes that we talked about in the workshop. So kind of hoping to come together, come to campus. I think I'll be doing the work on site, and you know, for me, it'll be, you know, quite immediate. So maybe kind of hoping to start next week and then really kind of pulling that together. And I don't know when that would be unveiled now. I mean, I'll keep you in the loop and let you know when that will be. Obviously, there's just some restrictions with kind of travel and such. So just trying to schedule that in. That's just one aspect. But otherwise, you know, it's just for me, it's just kind of drawing up and kind of thinking best how I can bring all this content into this piece of work.
Lovely to know that it's going to be getting on really soon. Will we be able to watch you work, or will you be blocked from the public view while you're working on it?
I mean, I don't really know what the situation is like. I mean, I think I will have access to a site that I can do work, and I have spoken to some of the participants that came on the workshop, and I said I would drop them, you know, a message. It'd be nice to meet them in person, you know, obviously with social distancing in place and such, but it would be nice to kind of, if they want to kind of come down and see me at work, and yeah, I'll kind of keep a bit of work in progress and kind of share that as much as I can through those channels. Yeah,
that'd be really great. So if you are a woman of colour at Edinburgh University listening, do pop down to Potter Row and see if you can have a chat with Ursula and have your input onto the mural as well.
And also as well, it would be, you know, if that there is any participants that want to impart something to be involved in the mural, I'm happy to kind of, if they want to contact via the station, if they want to link up with any suggestions or something that they feel pressing that they would really like to have included within the mural, I'm open to hear further involvement from anyone.
Yes, absolutely. If you're listening and you would like to give any input, you can email arts@freshair.radio and I will pass any correspondence on to Ursula, or they can contact you directly at what address?
It's gumbling@ursula_chang.com. So we kind of, you know, spoke about, there's sometimes these little small things that kind of are cumulative to having something like this in place. And it's, yeah, I think it's very valuable to kind of have those all kind of stemming in. So if there is anything that anyone wants to kind of share with me, I'm very open to that.
Yeah, it's a really important part of this project, as we've kind of covered already. Moving on to talk about your work more generally then, making murals is something you do a lot. So who else have you designed for recently?
Well, the last mural there was with Colorways in Glasgow. They're kind of taking over different spaces within the city. So I did a mural with them a couple of months ago. I've worked with Abertay University, with the V&A a couple of times, V&A in London and V&A in Dundee.
It's my favourite museum.
yeah, they've been fantastic. They were fantastic to work with. Urban Outfitters, Hidden Door as well, Hidden Door Art Festival in Edinburgh. Yeah, kind of varying, like different, like other like museums or kind of as well. I'm working predominantly at this time with a lot of different communities. So I'm working with the BLM Mural Trail, and that's going to be out of, you think, North Edinburgh, but also in Garnet Hill in Glasgow. I'm working with Crossroads, a youth community centre with the women's group there. So a lot of the participants are older women, but also it's kind of getting them introduced to like new techniques of spray painting. So that's going to be fun, and it's going to be a woman empowerment mural. Quite busy at this time of kind of like more engagement with communities, I think. So that's been really great to kind of get directly involved with communities that really want to kind of have this space to share their voice, or have their voice kind of recognized through something like a mural artwork.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've really been all over the place. That's great, kind of building communities and working with communities. I think that's a really cool way to be using your talent and work as an artist, and to kind of bring groups of people together. How would you describe your style then? So you do a lot of this community-based work, and you do a lot of kind of public works or mural work, but is there anything that kind of links your projects, or do you find that the way you express what you're trying to say is very dependent on what community you're representing at that time?
To a degree. I mean, stylistically, like, you know, there's a lot of line work that's involved in the work, a lot of colour, it's quite playful. Also as well, I guess there's kind of a hybrid of different kind of styles, and that kind of even comes from, like, you know, my own kind of cultural background. So there's just that kind of visual language that gets mixed in. But yeah, very much that kind of engagement and having participants involved creates a lot of the content. Like, I really get excited from doing workshops where that kind of artwork's generated, and it's me almost like kind of editing it and kind of directing it in a way, and kind of curating it in such a manner that it's ultimately and authentically is the work of the participants involved. So I think it's maybe just imparting that kind of design eye on certain things, especially when you have such a different combination, different levels of abilities, and being able to kind of see certain stems or certain aspects that they want represented and best kind of representing that. So I think, you know, when I'm doing my own work, sometimes it could be quite automatic and I'm just kind of sieving through my own kind of like visual language. But when I'm approaching engagement work, it's really kind of having an oversight of everything that's being generated and seeing how there can be one stem of like maybe having that united through a certain color palette or a medium that we use. So it can be a combination of certain techniques that I've kind of acquired over time of working with different groups, and also my own illustrative style.
That's so interesting. I was just thinking that, I mean, it's not very common in the visual arts to think of artists as working together in a sense. I feel like I'm very guilty of thinking of art as like one person's expression on a topic. They produce a painting and there it is. And I think it's really, really amazing that what you do kind of really involves your participants much more just sharing ideas, but actually them putting pen to paper, as it were, paint to wall.
Yeah, and it's just kind of bringing that kind of unity off it. And I guess it's just kind of looking at that expression and kind of trying to find a way that is economical in bringing those different ideas together. So it can, be a certain image or kind of, like I say, like a medium that kind of works, that gives some continuity to then that working as a finished, finalized piece.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing your work in Potterau. If you're interested in seeing the kind of work that Ursula does, her website has a great portfolio of what she's done in the past, which I think will give a good idea for what people should expect. I imagine it's quite hard for both of us, in fact, to have described the kind of thing that you do in words. So definitely do go check out her work if you're interested in that kind of stylistic stuff we were just talking about. I think that's kind of us come to the end of our time. Feels like it's happened very quickly. But thank you so much for coming on, Ursula. This has been really enlightening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
So do keep your eyes peeled for the Women of Colour mural at Edinburgh, folks. Next up, we will hear some comedy by the Edinburgh Review. And first, continuing the spooky music theme for this week, we'll have Psycho Killer by Talking Heads.
Better run, 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 run away.
And that was Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. Now, like last week, let's have some comedy by the Edinburgh Review. I shan't delay them a second longer. Take it away.
Hello, and welcome back to the Edinburgh Review's podcast. I'm Nessa Blackmore, stand-up director for the Edinburgh Review, and your host for today's Halloween podcast. So, of course, it's Halloween, and the scariest one yet, because nothing is scarier to me than the loud opinions of Americans. And with the election coming up, my newsfeed is just completely filled with star-spangled bollocks every day. I just don't care anymore. When I go on Reddit, I don't want to be reminded of the world falling apart. I came purely for videos of cute single dads and surgical abscess drainage. That's it. America is just everyone's Oxbridge friend of the country. Ugh, I've got so much work to do. Life is so hard for me, and I'm going to make it everyone else's problem. Drop out and pursue goat farming, whatever makes you happy, but more importantly, do it quietly. God, what a dystopia we live in, a world in which asking Americans to be quiet is on the same level of difficulty as asking them not to be racist. This is also the second week in a row I've talked about America, and when I sat down to write, I felt like I was dealing with an annoying ex, you know? You're too good for him, Nessa. He's just trying to get a reaction out of you. Don't rise to it. You're right, I am too good for him, and that's exactly why I'm going to eat this entire pint of ice cream and scroll through Michelle Obama's Twitter and think about the good old times. Perhaps I'll tweet a cryptic message to let her know that I still miss her. You know, something like, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Or perhaps I won't. Perhaps I'll listen to Fleetwood Mac, drink a bottle of cheap rosé to numb myself, and stare into the blinding brightness of Joe Biden's perfectly whitened veneers. Or perhaps I won't. But I probably will. Before you start thinking about getting me sectioned, let's move on with the show. First up is the Edinburgh Review's resident witch, Morgan Kane.
You know, I can't believe arachnophobia is still a thing. Like, it's the year 2020. If I want to marry a spider, it shouldn't be anyone else's business. That's like a general I, not a specific I. I'm not saying that I want to. I'm just saying, you know, it'd be nice if people had the option. And, you know, if a spider wants to wrap its 8 slender, elegant legs around my body, you know, wrap me in its web so tight, tenderly press my lips against its clicking mandibles, you know, I'd be open-minded about it. Anyway, that's my one spicy political take for the episode. I try not to just completely fill my sets up with politics talk, because I know that some people aren't huge fans of that sort of thing, which I think is a shame, because, you know, politics can be funny. Like, to give an example, and I'm not going to do, like, another, like, funny joke example, like, I think that parents who create a Facebook page for their newborn baby and then write posts in baby talk about how good a parent they are should be made to go to jail for a little bit. It's not like a joke take like that. I think it's funny that sometimes people will say, oh, the political left, that's an echo chamber, everyone's afraid of new ideas. Because in my experience, none of us have ever agreed on anything. Like, I'm sort of at the point now politically where I get into fights with people that I 100% agree with. And I think it's mostly just because I object to things for really petty reasons. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the porn industry. Not for any, like, ethical objection, you know, far from it. A very good friend of mine actually does clown porn, which about 75% of the people listening to this have just gone, what? But the other 25% of you have just opened up Google and are just checking just in case. But the point is, I think I just don't like it because no one there is very good at categorization, and that does set me off. Like, you'll see stuff like, watch this hot MILF get it on, and like, people often use MILF interchangeably with cougar, which is a different thing. A cougar is just any older woman interested in a younger partner, whereas a MILF is specifically a mother that you would like to F, which, you know, it is a distinction. I expect to see some sort of documentation, you know? Like, if we can't sell sparkling wine as champagne, surely we can't sell a cougar as a MILF. I'm gonna have advertising standards and practices on these people. And it raises some more interesting category problems, like, can you become a MILF by adoption? Which, personally, I think you can. Maybe other people would disagree. Or, does MILFhood begin at conception? Which is a very fraught topic that I don't think I'm gonna touch on anymore. Or, for another example, I have a deep-seated loathing of Marks and Spencers, but not for any, like, ah, they're gentrifying, or, ah, they've done unethical labour practices, or, ah, they gave money to some hate groups a few times. No reasons like that. I dislike them because they hurt me personally. Because when I was a child, I once had to buy lunch from a Marks and Spencers, and I spent £2.90 on a vanilla and maple milkshake, which I thought would be a delightful treat, because I was still an innocent young child, unharmed by the cruelty of the outside world. And as soon as I took a sip, it was the most rancid thing I'd ever tasted, and I checked the ingredients list, and it turns out, oh yeah, we decided we would add vinegar to this also, because we want to hurt you. We want to hurt children. Like, that's sort of our USP here. We want to make a drink that's worse than 12 murders. Like, imagine the worst drink you can think of. Imagine, like, the juice that collects at the bottom of a bin. And also imagine the bucket at wine tastings that people spit the wine out into. And now imagine the bin outside the back of that wine tasting with all this spat out pre-drunk wine. And now imagine that a wasp's nest is also in that bin, as well as broken glass and used needles, and also the whole thing is on fire. Now, if the fire was also made of hate speech, and was going on inside of, like, a large rubber tractor tire, that would be about comparable to the taste of this drink. And I think I learned, more than anything, what true evil is that day. Like, in the few seconds between that first sip and me spitting it out onto the ground, I very briefly saw the face of God, and realized that he was long dead. And it was all Marks and Spencer's fault, so I guess that's the lesson today? That Marks and Spencer has killed God. Bye.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan's set was in fact sponsored by every other supermarket, so you heard her, people. Marks and Spencer's, get yourself down to an Aldi. Now that I've inspired you to peruse the mystical delights of the Middle Isle, it's time to hear now from Rishi Sundar.
Hello everyone, it's been a while. I hope you've all been alright. Anyone who's seen me during my first year of stand-up probably thinks that they know me quite well by now. If you haven't, it's easily summarizable. I have a tendency to use the audience as a surrogate therapist. You'll know I hate myself. You know I probably dislike you, and you probably know that there are only so many jokes about Kate Bush and Arthur Scargill. There's at least one more, but you'll be f***ed if you think I'm wasting that on a podcast. But I apologise. It's Halloween, and Halloween is a time for scary things. And do you know what the scariest thing of all is? It's being honest. And I have to say I haven't been honest with you all. Some of the more observant of you may have had a suspicion. I haven't mentioned anything about it, but yes, I'm Asian. My skin is as brown as, well, it's quite hard to get across over the audio medium. I could make an everyday analogy, but I think the colour of our own is quite subjective. And so I decided to consult Farrow and Ball, the paint company, using their online colour matching service. But I have to say I was quite disappointed. After a bit of looking through, I think I'm some sort of intersection between broccoli brown, picture gallery red, and salon drab. Which, I know, Farrow and Ball, I don't know who you think you're fooling, but I know that broccoli isn't brown. This is quite unsatisfying. But yeah, what it means is that I have access to a big range of material that I didn't have before. And it's got a lot of range to it. I can cover a lot of bases, comedy-wise. I can go from, you know, the more typical, I eat curry every night for dinner, which is true, to exploring the bigger questions, like, what the f*** are model villages? Seriously, what are they? I've seen signs on motorways saying the model village is this way, and every now and then a white person will sprinkle it into their conversation, like, oh yes, I went to a model village the other day. But what are they? I don't really get it. Are they like small villages made of Lego that just like a sort of discount Legoland, so probably Meccano then? Or are they like the perfect village? Are they, you know, a village that everyone can aspire to? In which case, is that the reason why no one who isn't white has ever heard of one? Are they some sort of last bastion of cultural purity, harking back to the days when black and white television was an accurate depiction of life for most people? Or can only people who can trace their heritage back to before 1066 even access them? You know, back in the days before those Normans arrived here. It's quite confusing, I have to say. And it's one of those things that with white people I don't get. There's quite a lot of them, but it's one that seems a bit ambiguous is wine. Because I don't know if that's actually a white people thing or an old people thing. Like, as soon as I graduate or hit the age of 30, do I suddenly get knowledge about what a Chardonnay is or how full-bodied this Shiraz is? I didn't even know that there were different types of grapes, to be honest, beyond red and green. And apparently they're not green, they're white. But, you know, I know they're green, like broccoli is. It's all very weird. And so this is the kind of thing that I, as a physics student, like to try and come up with a theory to explain. And I can't say I have one for this. But there is a different phenomenon, which I'm fairly sure I've cracked in the world right now. And that's why, you know, everything seems to get as we get older. And I think the truth is that babies are the most intelligent people in the world, and our intelligence decreases as a function of time with every year we age. It is true, isn't it? Like, it's obvious to you now. You can't look at the world right now and say that the older people running it are completely sound of mind and are making good decisions, can you? It just doesn't make sense. And the rest of the evidence goes to show, because life, if we're honest, peaks when you're 6 years old, and it's just downhill from there. You start caring about things, everything gets worse, and things start to matter. Whereas babies, they've got everything sorted. Have you ever seen a baby being pushed around in a pram? King of the world, I say. And if they want anything, they don't even have to speak. They just have to cry out for it, and they'll be sorted. You know, I don't think that babies don't speak English. I think they understand everything we say. And we, with age, just lose the ability to understand babies. Their language is of too high a processing power for us to comprehend, as we gladly deal with the shit that comes out of their asses, and less gladly deal with the stuff that comes out of the mouths of our seniors.
Thanks, Rishi. I resent the fact that you don't want to share another Kate Bush joke with us, but that's something for us to work through privately. Next up, with some spooky sketches, it's the Edinburgh Review Sketch Group.
Hello?
Trick or treat!
Who is this?
Charles, your landlord. Go on. Trick or treat!
What are you doing?
It's Halloween. Don't be such a Scrooge. Trick or treat.
Right. I mean, first of all, I think Scrooge is more of a Christmas thing.
No, it's a Halloween thing. Trick or treat.
I mean, I don't want to make this a thing, but it is a Christmas thing.
There are literally ghosts in the book. Ghosts of Halloween.
The book. Book name?
I don't think that's relevant. We're talking about ghosts. Now, pick trick or treat. I'll evict you. Ha! Just one of my classic Charles jokes.
Fine. I pick treat.
Okay. You've decided to treat me. I'm doubling your rent. Happy Halloween.
Please tell me that's another classic Charles joke.
Unfortunately, no. And the fact that you've asked that shows a lack of familiarity with the format of a classic Charles joke, which disturbs me to my core. Look, tenant, I know that this is a difficult time for you, a renter, or as many call you, a suckler on the teat of the landlord system.
Bit vivid.
And that's why I decided to make things a little easier on you. By doubling your rent, yes, but doing so in the spirit of the spooky season. And maybe, just maybe, giving you a little smile along the way. That's the type of guy I am. Happy Halloween, tenant.
Out of curiosity, what would you have done if I'd said trick?
I would have just said boo! Real loud, like that.
Right.
And then doubled the rent. Happy Halloween! Hope you have a good night. In these strange and uncertain times.
This Halloween, one up with the damn and pandemic by wearing one of our beautiful and very mass-produced sexy nurse costumes. We'll have them all saying, girl, what's underneath that visor, and that other visor, and that mask, and that other mask? Don't forget, you'll get a free set of fishnets if you enter the code Nations Heroes at checkout.
That was such a difficult exam. I just hate maths.
It didn't even make sense. Like, what was the deal with question 7? What do they mean, squared x?
Oh, that was quite an easy one. You just draw the x inside a square, and then measure with a ruler the length of each side. I got 56.
56 inches? I only got 0.23.
Oh, well, that's because I used kilometres instead of inches, but don't worry, it is about the same.
Well, what about question 9? They wanted us to write out the 7 times table.
I know, right? We don't even know derivatives yet. I don't know how we were supposed to do that one.
Oh, since 1 and 7 look so similar, I just wrote 1 times table.
Ugh, I wish I knew the 1 times table.
Oh, I don't either. You don't need to. You just write 3 simple words. 1 times table.
So obvious. I wish I was as smart as you. I got completely stuck on the question before question 9.
Oh, question 2. I thought that was a trick question, because pie isn't actually a number. It's a food. Wasn't it a red herring?
Oh, I did get that one. I just wrote 5 instead of pie. You see, pi is 2.718, but approximated it to the closest integer number. I just felt that 3 and 4 weren't integer enough, you know? Like, they didn't give me that vibe. So, I went with 5.
How didn't I think of that? At least I got question 8.
The volume of the corn? How did you do that?
Well, a triangle has 3 sides, right? And if you spin a triangle really fast, it forms a cone. You just need to do the same thing with the number 3. If you spin it really fast, it looks like an 8. So, the answer was 8 grams.
Ugh, I only answered 1 question and that was only worth 1 mark out of 30. What's that overall?
I make that 100%.
My god, I'm a genius!
Hey, I made it to the 2019 Halloween party. Everyone's standing really close to each other, just like we always do. Hi Charlotte, nice ghost outfit.
Aaron, is that you? I only recognize you because of your compulsive need to say the ear every time you enter a room. Your costume looks amazing.
Thanks. I've been planning it since Halloween last year.
Wow. Just wow. I mean, words cannot describe how accurate it is.
Oh, I know. Which is why it's such a good thing that we can see each other in person and aren't trying to communicate through audio.
I mean, can you imagine?
Like, that would be so unsatisfying because you wouldn't be able to see each and every sequin.
Aaron! Is that you in that amazing costume? Oh, the horns are so lifelike.
Thanks, I made them from scratch.
That tail is perfect.
Where did you even get those deflated, inflatable pink spotty hands? It's amazing.
You're too kind.
They say the devil's in the detail, but in this case, the detail is in that leather brown fedora. And the devil is over there getting off with a slutty Theresa May. How long did the wings take you to make?
Oh, only a few weeks.
You can just tell the mane is real fur.
Wearing the bottom half of a pantomime horse is inspired.
Now, some would say the nipples are a bit much, but I love it. Totally completes the look.
But why five of them?
Sophie, if you don't get it now, you'll never get it. No point in trying to understand the mind of a costume artist.
Oh, I get it. I meant to say, of course he'd have five nipples. It makes perfect sense. What inspired the smell?
Oh, don't even get me started on how long it took to master the smell.
Aaron, this is the best costume I've ever seen. You're sure to win the best costume.
Best costume? Oh, it hadn't even crossed my mind. But now that you mention it, I mean, they said to wear something unique. I'd like to see someone top this.
Hey, out of my way. Excuse me, coming through. Butch out of the way, lady. You're bashing my wings. Whoa, Aaron, dude, no way. We both came dressed as the same thing. What's the chances? Great party. See you around. This costume is an absolute chick magnet.
The same costume? This. I'm going home. I'll try again on Halloween 2020.
Thank you to the Edinburgh Review Sketch Group. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for this week, so don't forget to tune into our podcast on Fresh Air Radio at the same time next week, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify to stay up to date on all our upcoming shows. That's it from me. You've been silent and unresponsive as ever. I've been Nessa Blackmore from the Edinburgh Review. Happy Halloween. Bye!
That was the Edinburgh Review showcasing their comedy by the medium of radio in this crazy time of no live theatre. That is all we have time for this week, bringing us to the end of another art show. Remember to tune in again Thursdays at 3 p.m. for more arts-related content, or you can check out the older episodes on our Spotify. We've had some great interviews with Edinburgh's Travis Theatre and Scottish Caribbean poet Courtney Stoddart lately, so do check back on those if you missed them. For now, here's Ghost Town by The Specials. Happy Halloween!
This place. Yeah.